SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage, the quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio, level 2. Let's do this thing. SiriusXM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. We'll welcome our AM radio affiliates back to the fold in a couple of moments' time. You know how we roll. So, a big weekend of CFL football still on tap. We've talked a lot of college football. We've talked NFL football, man. We've got more futures than Back to the Future. Than Christopher Lloyd, all right? But with that being stated, we've been doing well this year in the CFL. Let's keep it rolling this weekend. It's a tricky game Saturday night. We were talking about rivalries, and we got a rivalry game between Hamilton and Toronto. I'll tell you what, you know, I was saying earlier, we were talking about the Dodgers and the Padres rivalry, which is a real good one, and sort of a lack of rivalries. The CFL is good for rivalries. The CFL is already a pretty hostile and violent and crazy league to begin with, but the players really do buy in. Like, they are, the teams are geographically close, and what also sells it also in the CFL with the rivalries is the fact that a lot of them are sort of hockey rivals as well, right? Like, so, you know what I mean? Like, Edmonton and Calgary, they don't like each other, right? The Battle of Alberta. So, and it, you know, they're both in Alberta, but they really don't like each other for real. And, you know, they hate each other in hockey, they hate each other in football. Like, but I'd say the most hate, Winnipeg and Saskatchewan really hate each other too. They call it the Banjo Bowl. Like, it's real disdain. Like, the fans do not like each other. The cities don't like each other. The teams don't like each other. Hamilton and Toronto is a little bit different. It's an interesting dynamic, Hamilton and Toronto. You know, only because the cities are close, and let's just call it off for this. A lot of people in Hamilton are Toronto Maple Leaf fans, but they hate the Argonauts, right? But it's the oldest rivalry in sports, so that's what makes it cool. Hamilton and Toronto, it's cool. I think Hamilton plus two. Take Hamilton on a teaser as well. You got to play a teaser on this one because it is going to be a close game. You get Hamilton up to plus nine. But I like the Ticats in this game, and I think it creeps over the 45. Level two, let's do this thing. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. We're kicking it the Friday night freak show. Thanks to Steve Merrill for joining us on the program. We're not done to Big E, Eric Cohen. We're going to talk some NFL futures, Major League Baseball with the Big E, Eric Cohen. A wild weekend of baseball. It's rivalry weekend. And, you know, the theme of the week is rivalries. And, of course, nothing is better than a college football rivalry. We're now just 3 weeks away from the start of the college football season. Let's do this thing. I've got a feeling that people are starting to hype up the Utah Utes a little bit too much, right? I get it. This is what happens, right? Like the USC Trojans, oh, Lincoln Riley, oh my God, they're going to be amazing. This is, you know, they're unstoppable. But all the cool kids in the corner and all the, you know, the so-called sharps and the betters and stuff, they think, you know what? I'm going to go opposite of this. Remember when the Buccaneers got Tom Brady? Right? When the Buccaneers got Tom Brady, everybody wanted to bet against them. It was like, oh, yeah, listen, all the squares are going to think, oh, they're going to win. Now they have Tom Brady. Well, they did win, right? Like, they actually did win. So it's a similar situation now where the so-called sharps and the, you know, the betting market out there is going to say, well, the USC Trojans are overhyped. Their defense isn't very good. And they're going to be a fade. Okay, fine, but what's the massive difference right now in the price between Utah and USC at this point in time? Listen, the only thing I'll say about the Utah Utes, and I think the Utah Utes are a good football team, but the one thing I'll say about the Utah Utes is their schedule is incredibly difficult. Their non-conference schedule is very difficult, which could injure not only their bodies, they could get beat up, but also their confidence moving forward as well. So I'm just saying it's kind of ironic that people want to bet against the USC Trojans and nobody wants to take the Trojans. The men of Troy, and you know, to win the conference, but you know, somehow they want to just hand it to Utah. Are we sleeping on the Ducks? That's a question. Are we sleeping on the Ducks? All right, let's talk some Major League Baseball. The big Eric Cohen is going to step up and kick it with us. And we look forward. Listen, I don't, you know, normally on Friday nights, it's Tony Finn, right? But it's the summer right now. And everybody's doing their last minute shopping, although we are with our futures. But basically, like Rob Vino joins us every Friday. Rob Vino went to the Phillies game. And why not, right? Why not? And speaking of going to games, we're going to be in Chavez Ravine on Saturday night. Dodgers and the Friars, let's do this thing. We're breaking it down. The late night anchor man, Red Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday Night Free Show continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. The Pimps, the Players, the Hustlers, the Big E, Eric Cones, and everybody else in between, a former partner in crime of ours. They used to throw it down on the late night anger management class on Sirius, Channel 186 and Channel 98. Now with a TSN Edge, the Big E, Eric Cohen steps up and in. Cohen, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing tonight?
Oh, can't wait for football. Great to have the Hall of Fame game this week, and obviously, you know, it's disappointing that, you know, we didn't really get any stars or any starters out there. But, hey, football's football, and can't wait for the real thing in, you know, less than a month's time.
Hey, listen, Cohen, I don't mind about the starters because I won, all right? We won the Hall of Fame game. And, listen, man, the starters, it's a lot harder to pick winners when all the starters are playing as opposed to the preseason and the way that it rolls out. It doesn't mean we're going to win every preseason bet. But I was talking about this the other night on the show, Cohen. You can tell right now that, listen, the preseason has begun. It's football season for real. The football magazines and the rare magazine stands and stores that are still available. The football magazines are out. People having their fantasy football drafts. And you know it's football season in the Buffalo area when you start to see Steve Tasker doing car commercials. Was it Western Her? That's it. Western Her, right? Western Her Toyota.
Yeah, it's amazing. Only in Buffalo can a special team specialist make a lot of money after football with broadcasting and advertisements. They love their football in Buffalo. If you're a part of those some of those magical Bills teams, and you know you got a golden ticket like Steve Tasker.
We're now less than 5 weeks. The Hall of Fame game was officially 5 weeks from the Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Rams. It's getting real right now. What did you think of the Josh Allen dust-up with Phillips in camp?
Yeah, you know what? Listen, I was fine with it. Obviously, I would have had a problem if Josh Allen was hurt in any way. But you know what? Listen, Allen said it's boys being boys. It's competitive. It's they're out there competing. They're not taking any crap this preseason. They really know that what lies ahead for them. And they understand that, you know, they want to go into the year and be ready to roll. I mean, last year, let's face it, they had a few games in the regular season, losing to Jacksonville and, you know, losing at home to New England that really cost them having an opportunity to have home field advantage in the playoffs, and it probably cost them that game against the Chiefs, right? They had a better seed. It's a different path. And, of course, they would have won that game against the Chiefs, and they would have hosted Cincinnati in the AFC Championship game. But, hey, I think the Bills understand, listen, this is the year. We're going to go into the regular season. We're not putting up with any crap. We're going to go. We're going to win the AFC, and we're going to make sure that the AFC goes through Buffalo because, you know, they don't want any more trips to Arrowhead in the second or third round in the playoffs.
Now, obviously, the Buffalo Bills are being heavily hyped coming into the season. How are you approaching it, Cohen? To win a division, they're minus 220 right now. The price keeps going up. So the Bills are minus 220 to win the AFC East at FanDuel. Their win total is 11.5. As far as winning the AFC is concerned, they're plus 350. They are also the favorites to win the Super Bowl at plus 650. And you and I talked about them potentially having the best regular season record, actually, at plus 450. That, hey, you don't have to worry about what happens in the playoffs there. How are you approaching the Bills this year from a betting perspective?
Yeah, I still think there's actually a little bit of value at plus 650 to win the Super Bowl. As crazy as that sounds, they are the best team. They're the most talented team. They've got to stay healthy. The fact that they're now a 1.5-point favorite in L.A. on the opening night on Thursday tells you the respect they're getting from lines makers. Because I can tell you right now, there's not another team in football that would be favored on the road in L.A. opening night against the Rams. The Bills are the only team that would be favored. So it tells you that how good they are projected to be and how good that people expect them to be. And the fact that that line has gone up tells you that the money continues to come in on Buffalo. They're going to be tough to bet on because they're never going to be underdogs. They'll be big, big favorites when they have games against
this is the type of game you have to take them in, Cohen, if you want to take the Bills in a pick 'em type of game on the road against a good team, because otherwise they're going to be 8.5, 10.5, 12.5-point home favorites all the time.
Oh, yeah. You'll never get a reasonable price with them at home. Hopefully the Bills are a good road team because that's maybe another opportunity to bet on them when they're, you know, only a 3 or 4 point favorite on the road at Miami or something, right? And because you're right, when they're home, they're going to be huge favorites pretty much every game. I'm optimistic. I believe in this team. I believe that they've learned some lessons the last couple of years, some really painful lessons. And you know, I stick to the fact that AFC West is just such a competitive division that I think the Chiefs, Broncos, and Chargers will beat the crap out of each other, and the Raiders might be the best last place team in football because they got so much talent on their team, and yet they're plus 700 to win the division because the other three teams in front of them are so good. So, you know, the Bills are lucky. I still don't think that the Patriots or the Dolphins are anywhere close to Buffalo, and certainly the Jets are still, you know, the Jets and bottom feeders. So the Buffalo has the advantage. They finally get the advantage that New England had for all those years in playing in a relatively weak division.
You're not buying the Jets hype. What do you think of the Jets total at 5.5?
Well, I mean, the fact that it's 5.5 tells you that if the Jets have a really
I'd be running to the window to bet the under, but I'm not this year. But I don't know. Maybe they win 6. Maybe they win 7.
Well,
but some people are talking about them being good. I don't think they're good yet.
For the Jets, a good season's going to be finishing 7-10. So it tells you all you need to know about the Jets.
The biggie, Eric Cohen, kicking with us. Just like the old days where we used to throw it down on Channel 98, hardcore sports radio style. Now we're kicking it on the grid, sports grid. All right, Cohen, so it was a crazy week this week with Deshaun Watson. It's been a crazy offseason. What's going to happen? Is he out? And how long is he going to be out? It ends up being 6 games. The National Football League is now appealing. And it just goes on and on and on. But I will tell you what, like the FanDuel didn't have a win total up.
No.
And then they did. And it was 9.5. And ooh. I pounced. I jumped on it immediately. And so it was basically like the morning of the decision.
Yeah.
FanDuel and others put it up at 9.5. And he who hesitates is lost. And I said, you know what? I don't care who the quarterback is. Look at their schedule, Cohen. It's not easy. Especially, you know, from Halloween on, from October 23rd on, when Deshaun Watson would come back, it's really not easy. I don't think they get to 10. And I'll tell you what, FanDuel has moved it to 8.5 right now. They've actually moved it to 8.5. I got in at 9.5. I did lay juice code. I did lay minus 50 cents to do it. So minus 150. Because I knew it was going to go up. I thought the number should have been 8.5 to begin with. What's your take on this whole saga and debacle right now? What do you think about the Browns win total?
Well, I definitely love the under 9.5 where you have it. You mentioned the schedule. I don't think they're as good, even with Deshaun Watson, as Baltimore or Cincinnati when those two teams are healthy. So there's four games right there. Pittsburgh's hit or miss, but I mean, the Steelers are always going to be tough for the Browns. They probably split with them. Pittsburgh last year went into Cleveland and beat them, and then beat them late in the year too. Right. So, you know, it's hard for the Browns to win 10 games, even with Deshaun Watson playing after 6 weeks. And obviously the likelihood is right at this point, he probably will not be playing after 6 weeks. Now, I mean, the NFL, they're appealing in their own league, so you got to feel like, you know, if Roger Goodell, he is the commissioner of the league.
I think it's Goodell's neighbor or something like that. There's a new guy. Like, he's not exactly, he selects who. It's like, for the record, it's the same guy that was the arbitrator for the Zeke Elliott stuff. And Zeke Elliott got suspended for kind of doing nothing.
Right? I know. You know what I mean? Yeah, the NFL, listen, the NFL's come to, ever since they botched the Ray Rice situation and gave him two games and then had the elevator footage come out and look like complete idiots for initially giving him two games, they've been obviously erring on the side of harshness when it comes to suspensions. They you know, obviously ask Calvin Ridley, ask, you know, Josh Gordon, ask a lot of other players who have had suspensions that feel like they were just way, way too hard.
They did want a year. They did want a year for Deshaun Watson. I think, Cohen, you're right. I think because of the Me Too stuff and just the way the culture is right now, that they're tired of being called out, so now they'll just go extreme. But the judge used their own precedent in the past against them, ironically enough. All right, more with Cohen on the other side. The Late Night Anchor Match Request continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moretti. We're kicking it old school with the Big E. Eric Cohen, now TSN Edge. Formerly used to throw it down with us on Channel 186, on Channel 98. In the old HSR days, the Big E, Eric Cohen, also a diehard Toronto Blue Jay fan. And we know your dedication to the Jays. You went all in with these guys. So I want to get to the big picture as far as the playoff situation moving forward, Cohen. But the trade deadline has come and gone. There was, you know, there was some talk that potentially the Jays would, you know, would go after Soto. They didn't. They were aggressive, you know, in the final hours. And there was so much talk about Whit Merrifield and whether he's vaxxed and, you know, whether he's going to get vaxxed and how long it would take for him to be allowed to play in Toronto. He made his debut on the road. He can play on the road. He got a Kyrie Irving situation early right now. But a nice start for Merrifield and the Jays early in the series against the Minnesota Twins. I know you're all over this right now. What's up with Merrifield and his status?
Yeah, I was surprised to see the amount of negativity from Blue Jay fans about it, to be honest with you. I mean, listen, we knew that Merrifield obviously wasn't vaccinated because he was one of the 10 Royals who didn't make the trip here when Kansas City was here earlier in July. So, you know, the Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro, in my opinion, they're not going to make this deal unless they know that Merrifield's going to get vaxxed. And it was, he had said that if he got traded to a contender and that contender was going to have to play in Canada, he understood the situation and he would get vaxxed. So that's what he did. He will be eligible to play in Canada when the Blue Jays return home. He had a couple of hits in his debut in Minnesota on Thursday. And you know, to me, you know, I think Jays fans should be pretty happy. You got him pretty cheap. Here's a guy, he's not had a great year, but I mean, he's a two-time All-Star. He's a guy who's like been at the top of the league in doubles and hits and stolen bases for 2 years with a very bad Royals team. So the guy is definitely a good hitter. He's still young enough. And the thing for him is, I just think he lost his desire to really play in KC, and you can't blame him. How, I mean, you know, how long do you want to play for a last place team? The guy clearly wanted to play for a contender. And the fact that he didn't get vaccinated because he was in KC and had no need to, but as soon as he got traded, he agreed to do it, tells you that he's very serious about wanting to win, about wanting to play for the Blue Jays. So if I'm a Jays fan, and I am, I'm pretty happy about the situation, even though it seems like a lot of people are negative. Now, I do understand that the Jays probably should have got another arm, and I know they were aggressive in trying, obviously, with Ross Stripling now in the DL.
Well, let me ask you about that, actually, because that was a question, actually, besides Merrifield, that kind of flew under the radar, that if they knew, because they announced after the trade deadline that, oh, yeah, Stripling's out.
Yeah.
So then the thought process is, well, you guys obviously knew this, and you knew that how the severity of the injury, how come you didn't address the starting pitching more? I know Atkins had said that the market was kind of, it was overpriced, quite frankly. He said that people were asking for things that weren't realistic in his opinion. What's your take on that?
Oh, I agree. I think the Jays were definitely in on Syndergaard, Castillo, Mali. Like, they were in on all these guys that, that got traded, but they just didn't want to... They didn't want to get rid of their top prospects, you know, for a guy who was, you know, maybe a rental or only going to be here for another year after. And I think the reason they didn't announce the Stripling thing is I think they probably figured if they announced that Stripling was going in the DL, other teams would look to take advantage of them, saying, well, you're desperate. You just lost the starter. So, you're, you know, the price is going up. I think the Blue Jays felt like they probably had a shot. I know that they were really close with Syndergaard. It just didn't happen. So, obviously, the asking price was a bit too high. I wish they would have got another arm because, you know, they're in a situation now where they need Gausman, Barrios, and Manoah to be money every start because, you know, Kikuchi's obviously not had a very good year. Ryu's on out for the year. Stripling's now on the DL. They don't have a lot of other options. So they definitely needed another arm, and I know they tried, but for whatever reason, they just weren't successful, and I'm sure Atkins isn't very happy about it, but they weren't about to mortgage a top prospect for a guy that was going to be a number four starter. Maybe you would have had him for 3 months.
The biggie, Eric Cohen. What do you think of Soto right now with the Friars? I just want the playoffs to start, Cohen.
Yeah.
And I was going to say one thing, at least with the Jays, they got a little bit of a cushion right now. Like, you know, it was getting scary around the All-Star break. I think the Jays are a team to keep our eye on. And we know everything in the playoffs is an equalizer. As good as the Dodgers are, well, whatever. They're still going to have to deal with the Braves or San Diego, et cetera, or the New York Mets. What did you think of San Diego picking up Soto?
I give San Diego a lot of credit because the last couple years they've proven that they're all in. The money that they've given Tatis, the you know, going after Machado, paying him what they're paying him. Now, obviously, they're going to have to you know, pay Soto boatloads of money. But, you know, and they did it as well with the pitching staff as well, bringing in guys
like Darvish. One pitcher and after another,
Yeah, like they've proven that they're willing to spend the money. They don't have a football team there anymore, unfortunately, for Jeff Feinberg. So, you know, that's really all they got in San Diego is that baseball team, right? So they... you know, they're all in, and obviously they're not as good as the Dodgers over 162 games just yet. But man, oh man, that's going to be if the Dodgers and Padres.
Well, that's my point. And if you know, over 162 games, all these teams, all right, there's better teams than others, but you put them in a 7-game series, and anything can happen, bro. Right.
Yeah, and man, that's that lineup. Like, how are you going to get outs consistently in that lineup right now? With what the, you know, Profar, Cromworth, and then you got, you know, the guys we mentioned, but Soto and Machado, and even Josh Bell is still young enough and a good enough.
Drury hit a grand slam, bro, in his first at bat, first pitch.
Drury, who was a you know, cast off with the Jays a couple years ago, Drury had a huge year in Cincinnati. They go and get him, and you're right, grand slam first at bat. Oh boy, that is probably the best lineup in baseball right now. Most dangerous, I think. And you know, if you're the Dodgers, you know you're going to win the division. But man, oh man, beating San Diego in the playoffs is not going to be easy.
That's what makes at least winning a World Series difficult. You play good teams, and it doesn't really matter. You know, you win all these games in a regular season. You got to prove yourself in the postseason. All right, Cohen, before we get you out of here, CFL football. Saturday night, both games are on ESPN2. So a doubleheader on ESPN2, 7 o'clock Eastern time, the Hamilton Tiger Cats and the Toronto Argonauts. The Argos are 2-point favorites in this game. The total's 45. What's your opinion?
I don't love the game. Listen, I remember I was on here a couple weeks ago before the Toronto-Saskatchewan game, and I told you and everyone else, bet Toronto while you can at +3, +4, and the Argos end up being -3 because of the COVID situation, the Fajardo situation, and everything else. But the Argos really came down to earth last week, losing at home to Ottawa. They didn't look good at all offensively. They got shut out in the second half by the Red Blacks at home. That's not a good look in the CFL to get shut out at home in a half. Not good at all. So I don't know. I don't know what version of Toronto shows up here. Hamilton as well. I mean, they're 2-5, but they, you know, they should have beaten Calgary, blew a huge lead there. They should have beaten Edmonton, blew a huge lead in that game. Got a little lucky to beat Montreal because the concussion spotter took Trevor Harris out of the game last week. So Hamilton's been, again, they're very, very difficult teams to read. I get the one thing I love in the CFL is betting on Winnipeg. They won again this week. They covered again this week. That team is just a model of consistency. But, you know, Toronto and Hamilton, tough to figure what you're going to get out of either one of those two teams. And I do think BC lays the wood on Edmonton again. Obviously, the first time they met in BC, the Lions crushed them. I think you were there. I don't see it being that different. I know it's a big, big spread. You don't like laying double digits on the CFL. It's 10. But I think BC, once again, wins handily over Edmonton.
I like the over in that game, Cohen. Edmonton and BC, because look, BC hung 59 on them the first time. They're not going to do that again, but they should get into the mid-30s, right?
Yep.
And I think Edmonton's capable of getting into the 20s. My only concern about laying the price with BC here is the point spread. They've become a really trendy team. They, you know what I mean? They're, people like to bet on them, and people have been rewarded by betting on the BC Lions. I got to tell you what, man, Nate Rourke has played great football. So BC's 5-1 straight up on the season, 4-2 against the spread, and they're 3-2-1. They got a push on the road against the Rough Riders. Edmonton 5-2 to the over. Their defense isn't very good, Cohen. Edmonton.
No.
I mean,
no. which is funny because obviously, you know, their head coach is a defensive guru,
supposedly,
right?
But
I mean, he obviously just doesn't have much to work with at all.
You notice this year in the CFL, though, these games, like in past years, would just sort of be like, this is a bad game. And, you know, and it would get stalled at 24-10. Like, look at the Winnipeg-Montreal game.
Yeah.
There's been a few games called, like that BC Rough Rider game, actually.
Right.
There was a flurry of points late and stuff, and it was like, whoa, it actually got a push. Or maybe you won by half a point, depending on when and where you bet it type of deal. We're seeing this a lot. Like, it's hard to the overs are cashing at nearly a 60% clip in this league this year.
Yeah, that you brought up a good point. Winnipeg, Montreal. I think the score was 7-3 at the half, right? So, you know, 10 points in the first half, and then, you know, close to 50 in the second half, right?
Gotta love it. The crazy
CFL, crazy over. I mean, I live bet that, you know, the over at like 31.5, and it's like, you know,
and I are the same. I did the same thing. Yeah. I had the over in the game like you, and I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
We were actually on the air. And it was like, all right, on the way out, best bets, and there was no baseball games left. It was at the half. I said, all right, I know it sounds crazy, but take the over 32.5 at the half here. I said, it's got to open up. It did. And oh, man, did it ever. It ends up being, what, it was 35-19 or whatever the hell it was in the end.
Yeah.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
55 points scored.
The 35-20 final score or whatever the other night. Hey, Colin, it was great catching up with you. Great to have football back. We'll speak again, and we'll do it again before the football season starts. We'll have all your best bets and futures. Let's rock. Thanks for the time.
All right. Always a pleasure, Gabe. Take care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I am Gabe over at SiriusXM channel 159. I'm on here 1090 ESPN radio, the 50,000 watt juggernaut, the loudest station in the nation. We've been talking a lot of futures. We've been talking baseball futures, college football futures, NFL futures, NFL win totals. I see something else on the horizon right now, the NBA regular season. There's always a countdown, all right? Countdown to tip-off is on. And while we were breaking down to Major League Baseball trade deadline, and we're talking NFL football and college and everything, and CFL football, and we're laying it down on the TBT, I saw there were some win totals that were posted, but it wasn't like across the board. Like, every sports book didn't have them up, so I sort of wanted to wait. Like, if there's one book in New Jersey or something that has win totals, okay, good for them. Congratulations to them for putting them up first. But let's see when everybody puts them up so we can get some real numbers here. And everybody has posted their NBA regular season win totals, so I figured when better than now to take a look at these. So listen, we're just going to blast through. We're going to blast through all the win totals here, and we'll share some early thoughts with you. Last year, I bet NBA win total futures is earlier than I ever did in my life before. And I think I started putting in future bets. It was like late August, September type of thing. So I got to be honest with you. Like, usually there's not win totals out this early. All right. We're in a new era right now with sports betting in which, you know, remember it used to be a really, really big deal. All right. It used to be like a massive deal. Oh, man, the Golden Nugget is releasing their lines for the games of the year in college football. Right. So it would be like, you know, mid-June or something, early June, and Tony Miller and the crew down at the Nugget would release, you know, the games of the year lines. And like, we'd all be like kids for Christmas. Oh, my God. Notre Dame's getting 9-8 and all this. Whatever, man. They got point spreads up for week one, basically, I think, at halftime of the national championship game now. Right. So you don't need to wait. And I will tell you, the numbers are shuffling a little bit in the NBA already. Like, the pros, the sharps are hitting this stuff early. You know, if you're betting $10,000 on a future or something like that on a win total, it does matter whether it's 43.5 or 41.5 or 42.5 and 44.5. So if you like a team, like if I say a number right now, and if you like the team, you know, look around a bit and say, oh, look, it's actually a game less here or it's a game more there, depending on whether you like the over or under. So let's start off with the Atlanta Hawks. I think the Atlanta Hawks are going to be a good basketball team. Their win total is 45.5. The Boston Celtics have the highest win total in the league, and I don't understand this. I don't understand the infatuation and the love affair with the Boston Celtics. I swear to God, if the Celtics and Warriors played tomorrow, the Celtics would be favored. Oh, well, you know, the computer analytics or projections tell us Boston's better. They weren't, right? They weren't. Like, seriously, like, the Boston Celtics are favored to win the title? Why? Like, why? Like, NBA futures, like, blow my mind all the time, man. All right? So, listen, I'm not saying the Celtics aren't going to be a good team this year, but the fact that, like, people think they're, like, or the odds makers have them basically as the best team in the NBA, I don't see what they see. Yeah, they made it to the finals. Everything fell into place for them. They played a bunch of injured teams. So, anyways, they're 56.5. It's a lot. Brooklyn. So, Brooklyn's an interesting situation, isn't it, right now? Because who the hell knows who's going to be on their team? Yet you got a win total up of 45.5 right now for the Brooklyn Nets. Charlotte, 37.5. The Chicago Bulls, 44.5. The Bulls seem to be the one team that the bettors hit like right away. because I'm seeing some stories out there, NBA, if you just punch in NBA, regular season win totals and articles and stuff like that, there was some 42 and a halves with the Chicago Bulls. So used to saying Bears, right? Man, it ain't easy. We're bouncing around from sport to sport here, baby. They won 46 games last year. So the total right now is 44 and a half. I think the Chicago Bulls are a good basketball team. I don't think the Chicago Bulls are built for playoff success, but they have really good regular season players. Ball's health is obviously an issue. But DeMar DeRozan's a badass, and I know there's a common perception and immediate perception that he won't be able to match what he did last year. I disagree. I think that's just who he is. He's taken his game to a new level. He was already a star. He's not a superstar still, right? But he's an elite star. You know what I'm saying? There's difference to this stuff. But I believe in DeMar DeRozan. They bring in Andre Drummond. They bring in Dragic for a little bit of depth. Like I said, they've got a lot of talent, this basketball team. They re-signed LaVine. I don't see why this team doesn't win 47 to 50 games. So I do like the Chicago Bulls over. Obviously, listen, we're months away. We're just looking at the numbers for the first time with you guys here. I was high on Cleveland last year, and nobody liked them. And we made a lot of money with the Cavs last year. I think people could be sleeping on the Cavs again. Their win total is 41.5. Feels a little bit light to me. The Dallas Mavericks, 48.5. Dallas Mavericks win total is 48.5 right now. And as long as we're on the Dallas Mavericks, there's so much negativity in sports media and in our world and society as a whole. And I'm part of it. I contribute to it at times. And, Mark Cuban gets called out for some of his comments and some of the things that he says and does. I've said my criticism of Mark Cuban over the years has basically been like, bro, you got Luka Doncic. Mark Cuban's a type of owner. Like, I don't understand why he doesn't want to win more. That's the thing. And I think that he does. Like, I would never, like, say that Mark Cuban doesn't wake up wanting to win in life, because he has, obviously, and not just in basketball. But I don't know. Like, it feels to me like he spends more time on Shark Tank and talking about politics, and maybe I should run for president. And you know what? How about you build a basketball team? You do own the team. You do own the team. How about you build a damn winner here? You got Luka. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems to me that he could do more. Look at free agency. They're never really super aggressive, or if they are, I don't know. To me, Mark Cuban could do more as owner of the Mavericks to make the Mavericks win. But I just bring this up because on the flip side of things, I saw in Front Office Sports, which is a great Twitter follow, stay on top of the business of sports and all just sort of stories that are going on. And I didn't know this actually, but Mark Cuban is part of a drug company. Long story short, Mark Cuban and his guys, his partners, he's partnered with in this venture. They buy the patents to prescription drugs. So they get a generic, they get a generic knockoff of, a cancer drug, a leukemia drug, breast cancer, all illnesses, etc., whatever medication that people need. They sell the generic alternative to this with like 15% markup only. Which still, not just, they have to stay open. But when you consider like pharmaceutical companies add like, 500% and 700%. Like basically like, Mark Cuban's guys and his company are selling like pills that people need to stay alive that other greedy companies charge like 500 and 700 bucks for. Cuban is 54 bucks. It's a really cool concept. Like on their website, it shows you what he paid for it. He goes, we don't hide anything. He goes, we show you what we paid for this pill or this drug, and we add 15% to it. And that is like next to that is nothing like in the pharmaceutical industry. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Mark Cuban for that, because that, you know, that's giving back to society. That is helping, right? That is helping. You know, pharmaceutical costs, or I think that's probably, when people talk about all the problems in America and stuff, I think that's probably the biggest one that is not discussed enough. People's reliance on medications, number one, and then the cost. Like, basically, they're like crack dealers, these people. Right? They know you need something, and then they gouge you for it. It's kind of disgusting, but it is what it is. So props to Mark Cuban. All right, back to the... I wanted to get to that. Props to Mark Cuban for that. Dallas at 48.5 still. Sign better players, Mark. Denver Nuggets. So listen, Murray's going to be back this year. I think that's going to be a big difference for this basketball team. Obviously, it's going to be a difference for this team. He's a baller. You got Jokic. Listen, man, they competed and they battled last year. They were just too injured. They didn't have the depth. But having Murray back, not a superstar player, but a very good elite player. Murray was on the verge of becoming a star. It's too bad that he missed last year. So the Nuggets win total is 50.5. Detroit Pistons. Detroit basketball. The Pistons going back old school, going with the old school teal look. I don't mind. Shake it up. I like the Pistons uniforms are cool. You know, simple blue collar, but cool. But I like that, mixing it up and going back with that old school teal look that they're rolling out. Pistons 27.5. Sign me up. Over. I think the Pistons are going to ball. I think the Pistons are going to ball. I think they can win some games. I think, 30 games, 30-plus games. Golden State Warriors are 52.5. Houston Rockets, 23.5. Indiana Pacers, 22.5, which is less than they won last year, actually. And they got Halliburton. They've got they got Ben Mathurin now. I think Indiana, actually, this number might be a little light for the Pacers. The Los Angeles Clippers. Clippers are 53.5. I tell you what, I think the Los Angeles Clippers are a super dangerous team in the playoffs if they have everybody. But I can also say that, we might have dinner with Shakira and Beyonce tomorrow night. Could happen, maybe, if. Right? There's always the if with the Clippers and Kawhi. Listen, man, Kawhi missed all of last year. He better start playing. Otherwise, this Kawhi's made a lot of money from Ballmer, like, to do nothing, really, to be honest. But they are, man, the thing with the Clippers remind me of the Lakers from a couple of years ago when the Lakers won in the bubble, right? If, the Lakers won because they had months off, like, it was totally perfect for them. Hey, you're going to get a couple of months off, and then we're going to play a little mini tournament that's called the playoffs, right? It was set up perfectly for them. It's tough to go throughout the entire season, so I don't know. I think the Clippers are good, but long story short, I can't be betting they're over 53.5, not with their health history. This next thing is crazy, and, listen, we're going to spend hours on this one. The Los Angeles Lakers are 45.5 right now. Now, for the record, we've made good money in past years just hammering the Lakers under, because the Lakers are always overhyped because of the Lakers and overpriced because of the Lakers. 45.5 is a doable number, man. We get back to the if ends and candies and buts, but if AD can just stay on the damn court, this team's going to win more than 45.5 basketball games. So, every year I'm like, take the under with the Lakers, take the under with the Lakers. This one needs discussion. The late night anger match progress continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's the the Friday Night Freak Show. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci, and I've got basketball fever. What? Basketball? Come on, Morenci. We got baseball. We've got college football. We got NFL football. And speaking of baseball, we're going to be at the game on Saturday night, Dodger Stadium. Looking forward to it. And Jason B. Takifin will join us on Sunday night to recap the Dodgers and Friars weekend series. Always love talking baseball with Jason. And Jason's become one of our more popular guests this summer with his great baseball knowledge. Former minor league executive of the year, won 3 championships in Blue Jay organization. He'll join us on Sunday night. But we're just talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. We're just getting people caught up to date right now with the NBA regular season win totals for, you know, for people that bet real money on this stuff and you want to get a head start. The Lakers check in at 45.5, and the Lakers are usually, what were they last year, like 54.5? Lakers are always 54.5, 53.5, in that range. Like, you know, you see the Clippers are at 53.5, the Celtics are at 56.5. Elite teams will usually check in that 53.5 to 54.5, 55.5 range, etc. So the Lakers are at 45.5, and this might shock everybody, but I'm thinking over here. I'm thinking over. I don't think LeBron liked being embarrassed last year. I think that people are overreacting to how Westbrook played. I think Westbrook was just made to be the scapegoat. I think Ham's going to be able to figure things out with Westbrook. I don't think the Lakers are going to win the championship, but 46 wins, that's a manageable number. Memphis are the one team, guys, that it could be the biggest jump. Like I said, we're just kicking the tires on this stuff, right? We're just kicking the tires on this stuff. But off the top of my head, because I know I had them last year, Memphis' win total last year was like 40.5, guys. And here we are now at 48.5. The Memphis Grizzlies are they're a trendy team, and rightfully so. I think the Memphis Grizzlies are, I think the Grizzlies are missing another scorer still. They've got the grit. They've got the heart. They play street ball. They're physical. They're nasty. They've got Ja Morant. You know what I mean? Yeah, they've got good other players and stuff, but to me, they needed one more score. Like, I'm talking to win a championship type of deal. You know what I mean? If Ja Morant had another sort of, like, you know, real scorer guy there, I think they could win. But they're a damn good team. 48.5 wins is their win total. So we'll get you caught up to date with the rest of the NBA board. NFL football, college football. Dog days of summer are done. Let's do this thing. Bring it.